Praise God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. While you're turning there, I want to say to everybody that was involved in the barbecue dinner, it was just a great success. We'll get the numbers tallied and all that good stuff. And it's amazing how we get together and raise money with food so that a couple weeks later we can give food away for free. That's the way we operate at Landmark. Amen. We do the sacrifice and we want them to obtain the blessing, and they do. Amen. We're looking for a record breaker attendance for Beast Feast this year. This is our annual wildlife luncheon, dinner, whatever you may want to call it. And just all manner of kinds of food and stuff like that. If you don't like deer, if you don't like alligator and squirrel and rabbit and things like that, then maybe you would take a bite out of a cow. We'll have hamburger, we'll have hot dogs, we'll have all kinds of stuff. And so if T-Rex is not your beast, then we'll have cows for you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Is it just me, or does it just feel good in the house of the Lord here today? Praise God. We've already stepped out and shook hands. If we hadn't, we'd do that again. Amen. There's just a camaraderie here. Praise the Lord. It's either that or some of you folks feel the need to talk. Is that what it is? I don't know. All right. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In other words, when we consider one another, when we fellowship with one another, when we talk to one another, it just dawned on me what it is. I've seen about 8 people yawn. Are you here a little early? Here a little early, aren't you? Well, it's not affecting me. I got it now. Praise the Lord. Amen. But when it says, when you fellowship, when we talk together, we're to provoke one another to love. We're to provoke one another. Literally, make it a subject. Amen. And that's like encouraging one another, lifting one another, caring for one another. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I'm not going to get on to you for missing church because you're here. You didn't miss. But that's not the topic today. But the Bible does say not forsaking the assembling, the coming together of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, coming together, exhorting. You know what that means? Amen. Brother Harris, that means me lifting you up, not caring whether I'm lifted up or not, and caring for someone else and lifting them up, not caring whether I'm lifted up or not. So exhorting one another, amen. You give it out and somebody will give it to you, amen. And then it says, so much the more. In other words, let's do this even more because the day is approaching. That day is approaching. We all know what that day is, and it's coming. It's coming soon. And so we want to be prepared for that. We want to be ready for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is the will of God to be in church. It is the will of God to be in church. Somebody said, well, I can pray at home. I hope you do. But tell me the truth. Those of you that frequent our prayer rooms and our prayer meetings, when you pray at home, is it the same as it is? I'm not saying is it as good, because it can sometimes be better at home in private. But I'm asking you, is it the same as it is at church when you're praying with your brothers and sisters? You tag in, you walk by somebody and you give them a knuckle, you walk by a little kid and they I had it happen today. They ran away from their parents and gave me a hug around the leg. And you know, you just there is private prayer, but there's that community prayer where we come together. provoke one another to love. And we're able to encourage one another. Amen. We don't forsake the assembling of the church. Amen. Those of you that are watching us by internet, then that's an awesome thing. And because you're probably so sick that you can't be here. But for those of you that are just staying home because we're on the internet, that makes me want to cut it off because you need to be here. Praise God. It's just not the same. And the Bible is telling us, the Spirit of God is speaking to the church about not forsaking yourselves, coming together, even so much the more. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Jesus, we lift the name, praise the name, honor the name, and we worship the name. We thank you, Lord, for people that have a mind for worship, of people that have a mind for praise. And we ask you, Lord, today to anoint, to touch, to bless, save, redeem, set free, and liberate by the power and the presence of God. Somebody shout amen. God bless you as you're seated just now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What I want to preach is on a subject, a very simple subject, and a very simple sermon today entitled Indifference. Indifference. Brother Sound Men, could you turn my monitors down? I feel like I'm loud and I'm not even loud yet. Praise the Lord. I don't want to blast people out of here. I don't know. I think it's my monitors. That's good, brother. Hallelujah. Is it my monitor? Oh, something's up, man. Something's way up. Testing one. Isn't that a boomer? Praise God. Testing. All right. Here we go. Man, we don't want a crowd walking around in the foyer listening to me preach. Hallelujah. All right. Indifference. The definition of indifference is the lack of interest, lack of concern, and a lack of sympathy. Praise God. We know that it's blatant and that there is a blatant resistance against Christianity among the atheists. And they wouldn't mind me going public with that and giving them a little commercial here today, because that's what an atheist is. Amen. Anything that is not of Christ is against Christ, and anything against Christ doesn't believe in him, and that's atheist. And there are people that declare themselves as atheists. However, I have been in this Christian thing for a very long time, and I have noticed through the years that a lot of atheists come down with cancer, and then they want people to pray for them. So they were secret service Christians, I guess. I don't know what they were. Secret agents infiltrating the atheist area. I don't know, but it's amazing when troubles come, people want to call on God. But then there are those that are just simply hardcore, and they will not and do not believe in the Lord or church going or anything like that. There is a huge, huge indifference, and that's fine, and I have nothing against it. This is America. Amen. You have the right to do whatever you do as long as it's legal, and to say whatever you want to say as long as it's legal. However, you know, I mean, don't you think something needs to be done when 40 of them can get in a barroom brawl in the middle of our malls, and the cops go and try to break it up, and they're slinging all kinds of vulgarity and all manner of words and trying to punch the cop, and there's nothing the policeman can do. I don't know, man. There's got to be something that can be done to help those guys maintain the law. If they don't, we're going to lose policemen. And I know to a lot of young hearts, you know, the Bible says wisdom comes with age. Amen. So if you're going to get to where you have wisdom, you got to go through stupidity. And so I don't know if I've gotten completely through that or not, but I hope I've got a little more wisdom in my latter years. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I know it's a euphemism thing that, well, if we didn't have more cops, then that would be great. We'd have more freedom. Yeah, more. What we'd have to do is build more prisons. Amen. The comprehension of the way that everything works is not being caught on to. And this liberal freedom thing that everyone is shooting for is not going to work. Amen. We're going to see more car bombs. We're going to see more maulings. And we're going to see more home break-ins and elderly people murdered and children stolen and sold on the black market and more drugs and all of that when there's not authority. Amen. What is the reason for the indifference? I feel that the reason for the indifference toward God is because He, if you believe in God, if you live for God, if you trust God, if you're faithful to your church, then you're giving God authority. And I'll be honest with you right now. There's a lot of people that just don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Amen. Amen. It's funny, and it's true, but it's true. The older I get, Brother Yance, the more somebody says, where you want to go eat? I say, hey, anywhere you want to go. I wasn't like Cody when he was about 5 years old or six or whatever it was. He'd go preaching with me. And we went to Greenville one time, and after service, the preacher asked me, he said, Brother Marshman, where would you like to go eat tonight? Cody said, do you like Italian? He'd already been thinking about that. And to this day, Brother Lappin, when I go preach for him, he says, where's Cody? Is he still like Italian? But you get older, you begin to think, hey, it doesn't matter. We'll do it your way, you know. I understand that. I comprehend that. We'll do it together. We'll work this thing out together. It's not like, it's my way or the highway. And you know, and so we've got these groups and with these secular people that come up and they want it their way. And if you don't do it their way, you're a hater and all of that. And they don't even realize how much we love them. But because we don't have their lifestyle and we don't talk and walk and act like them, then we hate them. That's not true at all. Amen. If you're an atheist, be an atheist. Do everything you can. If you're rich, be rich. You know, I remember one time as a kid, and I was going through the stupid place, you know. And so I was sitting there pumping gas in my old car. I didn't know if the car was going to make it to church that day or not. And I was filling it full, and a guy came driving up in a car as long as a city block. And he got out and was going to get gas and all of that. And I'm like, Lord, why me? Why can't I drive a car like that? Why can't I have finances like that? And then I read a scripture in the Bible where David said, I didn't understand everything until I went to the house of the Lord and I understood their end. You know, what do you rather do? Would you rather have God or riches? Would you rather have God or other a big truck? You'd rather have God or what is it that we had rather have than God? I would to God that somebody would let me know I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. David said, I understood their end. If they got fine cars and that's all they're going to have in this life, let them have fine cars. If being an atheist makes them happy, then let them be happy because that's all they're going to have. But what I've got is going to take me to eternity. It's not just here. It's not just something I put on a sign. It's not just something I hang on a billboard. It's not just something I drive. It's not something I live in or something that I wear. It's something that's in my guts. It's something that's in my mind. It's something that's in my heart. I've got my mind made up. Somebody shout, I love you, Jesus. There's a wheel in life, and there's all kinds of things around it. Amen. There's vitamins, and there's finances, and there's groceries, and there's bills, and there's electric payments, and car payments, and all of that. But don't put God on the perimeter. Put Him in the dead center, so that you can say, when I can't afford vitamin, when I can't afford the rent, when I can't afford the electric bill, I've still got my God. If you're serving God just for the blessing, you're not going to make it. If you're serving God just to heal your body, you're not going to make it. If you're serving God just because you got a bunch of friends around here, you're not going to make it. But if you will make Him your priority, if you will make Him your everything, if you make up your mind that you really love Jesus, you will never become indifferent. You'll never experience indifference. Indifference says, hey, honey, it don't matter. You want to go to church tonight or not? I don't know. Well, it don't matter. Just make up your mind. We can go to Zaxby's, Burger King. And I am praying for better restaurants in Lexington, trust me. Hallelujah. There's got to be something better out there than a chicken finger. Even the thought of that. I'm just saying, amen. But, you know, really? Zaxby's over Landmark? Zaxby's over the presence of God? Hello? I remember years ago, the old-timer preachers, they said, don't you stay home for Bonanza. Amen. So I don't know what it is out there that's popular right now, but don't you stay home for Friends. Don't you stay home. Hey, listen, when it's church time, it's church time. When it's worship time, it's worship time. Don't let their indifference, amen, they're invited. We want them. We want all, every kind of nationality, color, creed, belief, everything in the world. We want them right here, front and center, because everybody needs a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But do not let their indifference sway you to be like they are and what they're living and how they're doing this thing. This is a priority. This is not part of my life. This is our life. Everything we do is around this. Listen, we got people that mowed the grass this last week with the company lawnmower. We got people that came here. We've got people that are going to be at Beast Feast, and that's going to be their vacation time. They're taking their vacation to work that so we can get the community here at the church. We got people that take off their jobs. We got people that give their income. We got people that sacrifice their finances. Hallelujah. Because they do not want to become indifferent. Hallelujah. Amen. I come to worship God. Did you come to tithe? Absolutely not. Who does God think He is to get part of my income? You say, well, I would never say that. Oh, really? When's the last time you tithe? I'm sorry, but the pastor just got here. I wouldn't let everybody preach this. I'd be tugging on their coattail and say, wait a minute, buddy. But sometimes you got to preach the Word of God. Am I right? Sometimes you got to preach about priority. Sometimes you got to preach about real Christianity and not a bless me club. Hallelujah. Yes, you're going to be blessed. And I want you to join the club. But you've got to understand that this thing goes a lot deeper than that. Eventually, you've got to get to the place that you want to build it with us. That you want to grow this thing with us. That you want to be a vital part of what's going on here. Amen. I may as well go the distance with this morning. I knew it wasn't going to take a lot of notes because I'm feeling this in my spirit. Praise God. Moms, don't you dare look at your daughters and the daughter says, I'm wearing this whether the preacher likes it or not. And you say, well, that's fine. That's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. And let it go because you're being indifferent. Amen. Then what's the next one going to do? And then what's the next one going to do? And then the third one doesn't even look like anything apostolic. We are going through that battle right now in the apostolic realm. Hallelujah. We will not go through that at landmark. I'm telling you right now, we need to take a strong hold and get a hold of our homes. We need to get a hold of our families. We need to get the rebellion out of our young people, because they're going through that stage. They'll get there, and we'll pray for them. It's almost like a sickness. Hallelujah. Little boys come, and that's all they can think about. They can't even worship God. Little girls come, and that's all the guys can think about. They can't even worship God. But why can't we forget about all of that and let God be God and let Him make a difference instead of us being indifferent? I propose to you, hallelujah. You say, Pastor's gone fanatical today. He's a fanatic. You just now found that out. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what a fanatic is? It is simply a fan of something super. All these people losing their gods that they were fanatical about. When number three passed away, you would have thought the second person in the Godhead just descended to heaven. He's gone. Like that guy that totaled his motorcycle. And he stood over it and said, Almighty Harley, son of Davidson. That's not God. That's not God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to let God be God, because He never changes. Amen. He gave His life once, but He will never die again. Amen. Praise God. And so we need to grab our homes, and we need to grab our families, and we need to grab our husbands and our wives, and we need to say, we're not going to let indifference grab a hold of us. We're not going to let indifference grab and get us and take us. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see more people involved. I want to see more people working for the kingdom. I'd love to see more people teaching home Bible study. Amen. More people worshiping, more prayer, more in praise, more people in the prayer room. Hallelujah. You say, well, that's not my nature. Amen. Well, then we need to pray that it becomes our nature, because it is the nature of God. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you received Him. And when you received Him, you should have received His nature. Hello? Amen. We're selling donuts. We're having barbecue. We're having beast feast, and we're having outreach, and you never listen. Where are you? Seriously. Where are you? That's not getting you, is it? Hello? Are you going to be different than everyone else? Are you going to be apart from everyone else? Are you going to be that socialite that's not a socialite? Listen. Amen. If we're going to see what God wants us to see, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we got to come together. That was so good, somebody will clap your hands. I do that so you can't hear me swallow when I take a drink of water. Praise God. Amen. Listen, we got to come together over this stuff. We got to realize that, hey, it's you, me, all of us together doing this so it can get done, right? Right. So that we don't let the spirit of indifference get a hold of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I love God. Good. But I pray. Good. Amen. Is that all we're supposed to do? Hallelujah. Amen. We know that there are those that are against us, but greater is He that is with us. Greater is He that is in us. Greater is He that is for us. Greater is He that is around us. Hallelujah. I love Him. Is that strange? Is that strange to say I love Him? Is it strange to say I feel the Lord locking His loving arms around us in the services? Is that strange? Is that odd? It shouldn't be. Amen. Praise God. And so we need him. We need him because our schools are not going to push him. Hallelujah. Amen. The ones that can afford it, they're getting German shepherds so they can sniff out the drugs. The ones that can afford it, they're getting metal detectors so they can detect the guns and what have you. And somebody says, well, that's a good idea. Let me tell you a better idea than that. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Everybody in the school recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything in the public system, everything in the government recognizing that the Lord is Lord. Amen. Just like our forefathers did. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer about this first? Why don't we inquire at the Lord and about this first instead of letting some atheist little old lady stand up and say, we should not mix prayer with the schools, and then every church in America saying, okay. And then saying we can't bring our Bibles to school, but you can give them to prisoners. That's a little after the fact, wouldn't you say? Amen. We thank God for those that are reaching out for the inmates because we're their only hope. Hallelujah. They're not going anywhere. So we got an audience. Amen. It's like fishing for bass in a pond. We're going to get him because he can't go nowhere. I like that. Amen. But why can't we give our children Bible? Why can't we make one of our classes a Bible class at school, public school? Oh, my word. Are you serious? I couldn't be any more serious. Amen. This world needs a good touch of God. Amen. Conviction will cut away murder. Conviction will cut away rapists. Conviction will cut away things that shouldn't be. People wouldn't act like they should act, like they act if they understood conviction. Not condemnation, but conviction. If a voice could speak to them and say, this is wrong. Amen. I know I'm a little out there. Amen. But it was in the 70s when Elton John was at his best. And we know all about that. And so he was at his best. And I don't know how many people it was. Sometimes in his concerts, he could have 100,000 people in one concert. And he gets up and he speaks about how we should crush Christianity. And he wanted to crush Christianity because he was homosexual. So what are you saying, Elton? You want everybody in the world to be homosexual? Or if so, then there goes everybody in the world because it takes traditional families to replenish the world. Elton, do what you're going to do, but just leave us alone. We're not going to be indifferent. We're not changing our minds. We're not closing the church. We're not shutting down. Amen. We're going to continue to worship God. Husbands are going to continue to love their wives. Wives are going to continue to love their husbands. Young people are going to continue to have respect and honor for their parents. We are going to have revival. We're going to have refreshing. And we're going to have renewal. And we're going to stand for what's right according to the Word of God. Amen. We're going to have a move of God. This house is going to fill up. We're going to build another one. And the anointing is going to break the yoke. And the Spirit of God is going to prevail. Because we're not going to be indifferent to the move of God. To the Spirit of God. To the worship I have toward God. Toward the anointing. Morning of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. A huge indifference to Christian culture and the principles America was founded upon. Amen. Hallelujah. Hollywood. Listen, there was a gentleman that wrote a sitcom because in this sitcom, all policemen are wimps and sissies and Barney Fives I love Barney Five, incidentally. You got to be brilliant to act that dumb. And he was, and he made a lot of money with it. Hallelujah. But the police officers are just made to look silly, and Christians are just pathetic. And so he wrote them, and in his letter, he said, I never would have thought they would have even taken the time to write me back. But he wrote them, and he said, why do you make Christians look so pathetic and outdated and losers, and why are they always looked down upon and all of this? And he wrote, the producer wrote back, and he said, why do you always insist on reading a book that is so antiquated and so outdated? And he just went on raving about the Bible, raving about the churches. Then when I was reading the article, I understood. There was just a tinge, Brother Bennett. There was a tinge of conviction in his heart. There was just a touch of, I feel bad about it. And so to keep my indifference, I'm just going to turn that conviction into anger. And when they turn conviction into anger, they just blast out against Christianity and church and all of that kind of stuff. And that's the generation that we live in right now. And what I'm saying today is that there are people out there that want to hear what we've got to say. There's people out there that want to experience what we have experienced. And in order for them to do that, we can't become indifferent. Amen. Jeff Foxworthy said just the other day, my wife shared it with me, she saw it somewhere. Jeff Foxworthy said, if your preacher's got to have black lights like a bar room, if your preacher's got to have rock and roll on the platform, if your preacher, and he just went through listing several things, he said, then you might need a new preacher. Thank you, Jeff. We need all the support we can get. Hallelujah. Amen. But isn't it ironic that even people in the world are beginning to see through the plastic and through all the indifference, and they're beginning to understand, hey, you're going to have a church or an entertainment center. You're going to have a church or another thing that people go to like a basketball game. Amen. Are you going to have the Super Bowl? Are you going to have a glory hallelujah Sunday night? Amen. Where the Holy Ghost falls and the Spirit of God makes a difference. Amen. We will not be indifferent. Hallelujah. We want the anointing. We want the power. Praise God. We want the power. We want the authority. And we want the dominion of the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you, Landmark, one more time. Is he worthy of our praise? Is he really worthy of our worship? And when we praise him, do we mean it? When we worship him, is it from our hearts? Is it from our spirit? Young people, don't you worship God because somebody else does. And don't you sit there like a mannequin because your neighbor does. But you get this in your heart. You get this in your spirit. You get this in your mind. Amen. And you let God go and let God have his way and let the Spirit move, and then let your life turn into what God would have it to be. Amen. I'm not talking about a class of people. I'm not talking about a class of anything. Amen. I'm talking about good, solid Christian living. Nothing. We should let nothing, absolutely nothing, come in and take that away from us. Don't let anything trim that. Don't let anything cut that away. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. He gets all the glory. Amen. It's our responsibility to continue to uphold the physical, the spiritual, and yes, the moral values of simply living for God. Why can't we promote prayer? Why can't we promote godliness? Amen. Come on. Being and not just seeming like it. Being a Christian and not just acting like it. So young couples, again, teach your children. Hallelujah. Make what we are valuable. Don't just help them to go to their grave healthy and fit. Prepare them for the kingdom of God. Amen. Because that has a forever effect. Love God. Let him be enough. Let God be enough. Hallelujah. Love the church. Amen. Love our teachers. our preachers, our cleaners, our leaders, our mowers, our cookers. Hello. It's too late to live like God and church does not matter. Stand up. Mom and Dad, stand up. Young people, stand up. Press toward the mark. Look at Philippians 3:14. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize. What is the prize? The prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that high calling? It's when the trumpet sounds and He says, come up higher. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get on board living for the Lord. Amen. No more of this attitude about don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. No more attitude that says who cares. No more attitude about don't be such a fanatic. But you build yourself a Holy Ghost wall against indifference. Joshua stood against his whole nation with only himself and his family. And he said, as for me and my family, we will live for the Lord. And what was it? 3 million people began to scream back to Joshua, we want to live for the Lord too. We're going to live for the Lord. If our leaders will, our people will. Woo! What's it going to be at your house? I know what it's going to be at this house. But what's it going to be at your house? Let's love Him. Let's love Him too much to fail Him now. Let's resurrect Him again. Let's bring Him back alive to me. Let's bring Him back alive to you. Let's bring Him back alive to our nation. Why don't you come? Everybody just come. Let's stand at the altar and let's rededicate ourselves and let's let the world know that we will not tolerate indifference. We will not tolerate indifference.
It shall be done.
We're not here against God.
It shall be done.
We are not here against Him.
It shall be done.
We are here for Him.
It shall be done.
Oh, yeah.
It shall be done.
Pray, pray, pray with somebody.
It shall be done.
Reach out with somebody. Somebody needs the Holy Ghost.
It shall be done.
Somebody needs the Holy Ghost.
It shall be done.
Oh, yeah.
I'll find it in heaven.
Come on. Oh, yes. Altar workers, help us. Somebody help us. Come on. Come on.
Everything I've given to you, that you can use the other.
Glory.
I'll find it in heaven.
Glory. Praise God. Amen. You know, one person said that living for God should be like an addiction because it's not an affliction. So it's the addiction that's not an affliction. And that's how we should live for God. Amen. I'm not saying other things. Praise the Lord. Wellness. You know, all of this. Amen. Hunting is good, but let your pastor confess. I remember years back, I got too close to hunting. Amen. I knew I was too close to bow hunting when I was sitting in Johnny Godare's church, and it was a conference, and the Holy Ghost was moving. And I was watching that cluster of speakers that he had in the ceiling. And I thought, I could put an arrow dead center of that from here. While everybody else is speaking in tongues, worshiping God, I'm thinking I could hit that with an arrow. And I thought, buddy, you're a little too close to hunting. Indifference was coming. Something else was beginning to matter more. And I think last year I went bow hunting twice. And that was not even morning and evening. Because I don't want that to happen. I just don't want that to happen. So, you know, things are right and things are fine. But what this preacher's tried to preach today is just make God priority. Make church priority. Make prayer, your family, your children. Amen. Parents, please, make decisions for them. Please, no more coming to my office saying, I don't know what I'm going to do with my son. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. He's so forceful. How old is he? 3? What's he going to be when he's 13? What's he going to be when he's 16? When he doesn't know what life is. Give him his disappointments now so that mom and dad can be there to help him through them rather than wait till he has car keys and license and goes off to take care of it on his own and never being taught life skills, never being taught what disappointments means and what good they can do for you in the long run. Do you understand what I'm saying? All I'm saying here today is make God priority. Don't put him around, put him in the center. And watch everything else come together just like it should. Just like it should. All you're doing is adding eternity instead of a grave. Praise God. And that's what we want to do at Landmark. Amen. So when we say bind it on earth, we're talking about all this indifferent stuff. And he'll bind it for us in heaven. Amen. And the song is saying, if you'll loose the blessings of God upon your life and your family, he'll loose them in heaven. So I want to do some binding today, and I want to do some loosing. Amen. Praise God. You'll still be the same person you've ever been. I'll still be the person I've ever, always been, but with a different priority in life, different goals, and different ambitions and passions. Praise God. Because I don't want to become indifferent. Amen. I don't want that to affect us. Holy Ghost, I pray for this congregation. I pray for this people. I pray from the platform to the back wall, from side to side, center to circumference, that you would touch, that you would just infiltrate and permeate us, Lord, with the passion to live for a God that is real. A God that is not a storybook figure, but a God that is alive. A God that we can talk to and a God that talks to us. Walk with us. Talk with us, Lord Jesus. And we will be back to worship you in spirit and in truth. We will pray. We will lead others. We will direct others and help others in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands. Be friendly. Go with God. Let God go with you.